from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
A-Rex.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We your number one spot. We your number one spot for some sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two. We in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, we your number one spy.
Shout out Young Zell, man. Shout out Young Zell always. Shout out all my people here tapped in to D-Lo and KC on this Wednesday, July 10th. July 10th. We're like in the middle of the summer. Middle of the summer. And I know I've said it a bunch of different times. I know it's a little strange. It's how it's supposed to be. This is summer. I wouldn't want a 83 degree summer. No, man, you better get up to that 95. You better get up to that 105. Now, look, that doesn't mean I have to be doing wind sprints and suicides in 105. I ain't say I'm doing all that. But this is summer. This is how it's supposed to be. It's been a little extra. With the 115s, they can settle down a little bit. I don't live in Vegas. I live in Sacramento. They can chill with all that. But this is how it should be, man. And you know, we getting into that time where there ain't much going on. But luckily for us here in Sacramento, we got DeMar to talk about. We got a lot to talk about. It's your boy Kenny Caraway.
Acknowledge me.
Vibes, D-Lo, off on a much deserved vacation. But I got my main man. Jesse Tapia with me.
I'm in God mode.
Yeah, that's going to be yours, Jesse. You know what I'm saying?
It works.
You just get on there, man.
I'm in God mode.
Get that tribal chief going on in there, man. He rocking with me. We got Sarah Hodges, CBS 13. Sarah Hodges, she's coming in at around 12:50 or so. We got my main man, Antonio Harvey, the legend here in Sacramento. He's coming in at around 2:15 or so as D-Lo and KC, a.k.a. KC and Friends when Damien's gone. Gets rolling on this Wednesday. Jesse, how you doing, man?
Doing all right. You mentioned the heat. It's never too hot for a hoodie. I'll say that.
Yeah,
I'm trying to be like DeMar DeRozan and Monty McNair, though. I'm trying to be like them. I saw them. I was inspired.
Yeah, I was about to say, Jesse DeRozan in here. You know what I'm saying? We got to get you a vest. You know
yeah,
what I'm
I
saying?
Need a vest. Monty, send me a vest, please. I think we got it. It's like 68 degrees in here. We're working.
The interesting thing about like what we do, and salute to like Delivery Joe, Manny, you know, those people that work outside in this heat. And I don't want it to be hot for you. Like, I definitely don't want that to happen because I don't want you guys in those type of environments. But when you work, like, inside and literally we're in here during the hottest part of the day, you know, we wear whatever we want. I could come in like DeMar DeRozan every day.
Yeah, if we wanted it to be December, 365 days a year, we could do that.
It wouldn't matter. As a matter of fact, I don't know what happens in that studio, but in this studio, sometimes it get a little chilly because, you know, the air got to come on. And before, I didn't really realize it, but we got a lot of, like, equipment in here, and you don't want it to be – you don't want things to overheat or anything. So they keep the air at a certain level you know, just to make sure, you know, it's comfortable. And sometimes we're getting a little chilly. So
shout out to everyone working outside, though.
Shout out to everyone.
I remember before I landed this job, I was helping Buddy lay concrete and all that. We're out there like 7 o'clock in the morning. Oh. It's already like 95 degrees or whatever.
Ooh.
I get a call like 2 hours later. Like, hey, Jess, we want to hire you for the street team. Yep, I'll be there right now.
Luckily, I've never had to, trying to think if I ever had to work outside. Nah, not really. The closest thing to it is I would work at this middle school. I've talked about a number of different times. And it's not in the middle of the summer, but school will go into early June or whatever. And we were in Tustin. So Tustin's not Sacramento. It's not the same as working at a middle school in the early June in Sacramento, California, or Las Vegas or anything like that. So no, I've never had to do anything like that. I was having a conversation with my son, though. Me and my wife were about, you know, working, getting work in and stuff like that in the summer in a place like Sacramento. And you're trying to work on your game. You're trying to be better, whatever it is, basketball, baseball, whatever. Summertime is, you better get up. Like, ain't no sleeping in till 9, 10. Oh, then I'm going to go get my workout. Nope, it's too late at that point.
Yeah, we'll be out there at 6 a.m., pal.
It's too late at that point. You're going to get heat stroke. So we're just like trying to talk to him about, hey, if you're going to do it, you got to get up. You know what I'm saying? Get it in while it's still cool in the morning, relatively cool. And then, to be honest with you, once like 11 o'clock hits, it's time to call it quits till about 8 p.m. at that point. Like you don't do nothing till about 8 p.m. But, you know, that's just what it is. That's what we used to do as kids. So lay down the rundown for the show. There are some more things with the Kings that, you know, I want to go over. I want to talk about a little bit because there's some things that we, you know, we still got to dissect with these guys with the addition of DeMar DeRozan. And what's next? What could be next for this team? But we got some stunning news. Stunning is maybe a little extra, but we got some news this morning from Team USA. Is Kawhi Leonard has decided to leave Team USA. And
seems like it wasn't even a Kawhi decision either.
So what did you read about that? I just on some surface stuff, I saw Kawhi, you know, bounce. But was it Team USA? Who
I think from the statement, like, it seemed like it was a Team USA and Clippers decision. Because Ty Lue's out there, assistant coach, I think, for Team USA and all that, too.
Mm.
So it seems like they made the decision for him.
You know, one of the homies got in the group chat this morning. Shout out to my man, Brandon. And he was just like, you know, Kawhi need to hang it up. He said he need to hang it up. Like, this ain't going to happen. Now, that's drastic. I don't agree with that. I don't think he needs to hang it up. But this notion that Kawhi Leonard can, like, be the best player on a good team, can lead a franchise, and let's just be fair. This notion that Kawhi Leonard is that guy, is that dude, is him, I think that's long gone. I think that's long gone.
We're still chasing what he was in 2019 or that year he went with the Raptors.
Bro, we're five almost 6 years
that's
removed
what I'm saying.
From that. You know, we're a whole contract removed from that. He's not that guy. And I like Kawhi a lot. Kawhi, I remember in the 2019 run, when he led the Raptors and in that NBA Finals and some of the things he was doing in that Finals, I was having conversations with the homies. And I said, yo, he got if we had the belt at the time, he got the belt. He's the one. He may not be the MVP. He may not be LeBron, all this other stuff, but it's his league. And this was in the middle of that series. This wasn't even at, like, I definitely felt that way after they won the championship. But in the middle of the series, I was like, he is it. And I thought it was a fair assessment. I thought it was something fair to say. But he is so far removed from being that level of player and having that level of impact. It's sad to see because I like Kawhi, but those days are over.
He's a Hall of Famer, right?
Yes.
Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. But then you can also say about Kawhi Leonard is that he never reached, like, the full heights that he could have been as a player, I think.
Hmm.
Like, his peak, like you saw his, like, how good he could have, like, he was and all that, but it didn't really last long because he's always hurt.
Yeah, he was. So, all right. Yeah, he's no question about it. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, yeah.
Pulled up the stuff right now. 20 points per game for his career. 6.5 rebounds for his career, 3 assists, one of the best defenders of his era, 6-time All-Star, 2-time NBA champ, absolutely, all-rookie, 2-time Finals MVP, 7-time All-Defense. Yeah, this isn't even a discussion. He was on the 75th anniversary team. He's definitely a Hall of Famer, a Hall of Fame lock. I already thought so before, but I was like, man, I gotta think about this a little bit. But after seeing the accolades, like, yeah, no doubt about it, 6-time All-NBA.
And like what I'm saying with Kawhi is like he should be like 11-time All-Star, maybe 8-time All-NBA. Like that's what he could have been. Like, yeah, there was absolutely so much more he could have achieved.
There was a time when he won that Finals MVP with San Antonio. That was 2014, I believe.
Yeah, around there.
2014 NBA Finals. He, from 2014 to, just for argument's sake, I'll say 2022, that 8-year span, that should have been his.
Yeah.
That should have been his. And, you know, the injuries completely kind of debilitated him. Remember, he had that one injury in San Antonio which led to him leaving San Antonio that I feel like he lost like a whole season.
I wonder how much of all this stems from that. Not saying it's the Spurs' fault or whatever. Maybe he just kept getting re-injured because of other reasons and all that. But just kind of like he just never really got right after that.
Yeah, his body just didn't do it. I remember in that 2021 playoffs, I thought they were ready to possibly go to the finals, that Clippers team. And they went down 2-0 to Utah. They came back and won the next two. And in that game 4, that's when Kawhi tears his ACL. Paul George leads them to the conference finals, and that's cool too. But I thought that was the year for those two guys. They had two seasons, the bubble year, which I don't hold the bubble against them because I just don't. Like, that was a tough situation. As much as we put an asterisk on the Lakers for winning, some people do at least, it had its difficulties as well. Like, it had its pluses, it had its minuses. And the Clippers experienced the minus of it all, right, the cons of it all, because Paul George was fried mentally. That seems like a lot of people were like, yo, I don't even want to be here type stuff. So I don't hold that against them. But it felt like that year, the regular before COVID, that year was an opportunity for them to win it. And the following year was an opportunity, and Kawhi tears his ACL.
It's going to be tough coming up short with two different teams too, with Lob City and then the Kawhi Clippers. Just couldn't get it done.
Somebody asked, I don't know if we were on here or I just heard it in a conversation, but they were asking, the Lob City Clippers are more beloved by Clipper Nation than Kawhi and PG, right?
I think so. I think that'd be fair, yeah.
Yeah.
Lob City was like a moment, I felt like. Like that put the Clippers on the map, low-key.
Blake, you know, and this is where I saw something last night where they talked about somebody just mentioned, like, oh, man, the Clippers did Blake so dirty. And they showed the clip of when Blake went back to L.A. and he ran past Ballmer, didn't shake his hand. They had 44 that game. And I hate to be this guy, but I was like, he got paid, didn't he?
No, don't do that. They put his jersey in the rafters and the free agent meeting and all that. Hey, he was like supposed to be the next guy on the Clippers, and they trade him. No.
Hey, the check cleared, right?
No, don't do that. No.
Didn't he get about $200 million?
That doesn't matter. They did him dirty still. Like, yeah, you're making $200 in Detroit compared to L.A.
Well, look, you signed up knowing what was going on. This is what I always
That's
say.
That's tough.
I'm not saying it's not tough, but this is what I always say with these athletes. You signed up. Have you not, Blake Griffin, have you not been watching sports? Have you not been watching sports? Do you not know this is a possibility?
You can't throw my name up in the rafters and all, oh yeah, we want you here forever, and then trade me the next year. You can't do that. Like, you just can't. No, that's wrong.
It was even worse. Didn't they trade him that offseason, or did he play a whole year?
I don't know. I don't even think it might have been half. It was within the year of that.
Hey, I can,
the check. It's different.
Hey, check clear, man.
No.
Come on,
Can you imagine Blake Griffin? Oh, I'm going to make $200 million in L.A. Wow, I'm going to be the man. What am I supposed to do with this in Detroit now?
It's cheaper. You keep more of it. That's what happens. You keep more of that $200 million.
I would have sued. for $200 million
more. And I would have been like, give me my money back. If you're so damn unhappy, give me my money back.
I want $200 million more. I want the jersey you threw up in the rafters, too.
Sign a new deal with Detroit, man. Anyway, man, we got We got Sarah Hodges coming up, like I said, at about 12:50. Antonio Harvey coming up at about 2:15. And James Ham probably not going to pull up on us today, man. I heard James is, you know, it's his flu game right now, and he needs to just chill out a little bit. But you know how James is, man. He might try and gut it out anyway. Matter of fact, if he tries to gut it out, I might tell him to just go back home anyway, man. But, you know, we got KC and friends. We got a lot to talk about. There was two proposed Kings trades that I saw that I want to talk to you about, Jesse. And we'll talk about that on the other side, man. It's D-Lo and KC, ESPN 1320, Sacramento's number one sports station.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Back here on D-Lo and KC, my man D-Lo, on a much, much deserved vacation. Shout out to him. You know, champagneing and campaigning somewhere on an island, somewhere maybe listening to us on a PJ. You know how you get down. You know what I'm saying? He might be sipping a little Clico, you know, on a PJ somewhere. So shout out D-Lo. I'm trying to figure out right now what EPL team I should follow because Jesse's telling me to leave Tottenham.
Yeah, they're just perennial chokers, and they'll just let you down.
I don't know, man. I feel like I can't leave now, man.
You can. You're too early in the game where it's like you're not really in there or whatever.
Well, you know the parameters. It has to be a Nike team. You know, I'm not doing no Adidas team. I ain't doing no Puma team. No, Asics. Don't they have a couple of smiles? I ain't doing all that. No disrespect, but you know, I'm going with the swoosh, whatever team. So they got to have a Nike deal. And part of my contract is, if they leave Nike, I can leave too.
That feels fair, I guess. Like if you're just brand loyal or whatever, yeah.
Yeah, because I got to wear the gear. I got to get me a kit. Ain't that what it's called? A kit?
Yeah, they call it a kit.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm not gonna get no Adidas kit. No shade to Adidas. No disrespect. You know what I mean? Adidas, the fine company. You know, and there are certain Adidas that I may get.
Anthony Edwards just re-upped with Adidas, actually.
I want to get some AE ones. I do want to get some AE ones. Those shoes were some of the best basketball shoes all year. They did their thing with the AE1s. I might get a couple pair of Yeezys when they come back out. Don't tell nobody. But, you know what I mean? Look, I'm just saying. If the shoe is up, I'll get some New Balances. Speaking of Kawhi, I'll get some New Balances. You know, that's popping off right now. But I don't want to wear their jerseys. Simple as that. The only Adidas jersey I'll wear is a Sac State jersey.
That's fair.
And they need to reevaluate what they're doing with their life when it comes to their licensing apparel.
Remember when Puma was a thing in the NBA for those 20 minutes?
Well, shout out to number 35 himself, Marvin Bagley, one of the ones.
They went all in on that draft class and just boop.
Now, the interesting thing about that, if this guy could ever stay healthy, like we talked about, LaMelo is the one.
He's the one that could save them.
Yeah, LaMelo, LaMelo ones and LaMelo 1.2s, whatever. Kids love them shoes. Kids love, and that's the whole thing. Like, my son, he kind of, you know, keeps me up to gear, up to date with, you know, what everybody's rocking and liking and all this other stuff. The Scoot Henderson, you know, they got a little buzz going on with him there. But LaMelo's the one right there. So Puma, after all that money they put in, LaMelo might be the one to save him. But he's got to play.
LaMelo was a Laker team away from being a star.
This is a big year for LaMelo. It's kind of random to talk about this, but this is a big year for LaMelo. Like, I gotta understand what direction he wants to go with his career.
I think we gotta get him out of Charlotte. And I know we don't like doing that on the show, like get player out of there, but I think Charlotte is the one team, if you could point to, it's like, yeah, like for whatever you want LaMelo Ball to become, it's probably not gonna happen there.
Did you see over the weekend they had footage of the new coach? What's my man's name? Charles Lee?
Charles Lee.
Yeah, Charles Lee. And, like, him, like, running a practice or whatever. And it was a lot of people. It got retweeted a lot. And it had, not saying that this is what's going to happen, but it had the same vibes as turn on the effing Jets. So maybe that's the right guy for LaMelo. You know, somebody like him.
It could be.
I generally want to see these guys, and I know what you're saying. You don't usually do this. This is usually like a ESPN situation. But I want to see guys stay where they're at. I would want LaMelo to not think about, I got to get out of here. I would want him to say, I want to build this up. I want to be the foundation for the turnaround.
I think he could be that, but I just don't trust Charlotte. That's not even LaMelo, it's just Charlotte. I just don't trust Charlotte. They've been perennial losers forever.
The other problem, though, is, and that's why I say it's such a big year for him, is I don't know if I trust him. Like, it takes a certain individual to say that. Like, it takes, like people would have said the same thing and did say the same thing about De'Aaron Fox in Sacramento, right? Like, they're like, nah, bro, that ain't happening there. You got to leave. And De'Aaron, for the most part, said, no, I'm not leaving. I want to be a part of the turnaround here. Obviously, they got them players like Sabonis and Monk and did some things like to help out with the talent. You got to have talent around you. But from everything that we read, we saw, everything he would say when he was here, he never wavered from Sacramento on wanting to turn things around. And his commitment to turning things around, his commitment to the city, and just the type of individual he was, where he's like, no, I'm not running. I'm gonna be here at least for some time. I ain't gonna be here forever if they keep doing this, but I want to be a part of that. I don't know if that's LaMelo right now. I don't know, and that's what I want to find out this year.
Yeah, that's fair to say too. I think
LaMelo may be the type that in a LA, in a Chicago with more lights on him and stuff like that, that may bring the best out of him, which is fine, but that also, that's a different individual, right? There's some individuals that it don't matter where I'm at, like, I'm turning this thing around. This is what I do. There's some people that have to, if they're not focused, or if they're not in a situation where people can keep them focused, it's kind of what we talked about yesterday with discipline, right? Maybe LaMelo's not a disciplined type individual at this point in his life to be able to handle a Charlotte situation. But I feel like I'm gonna learn a lot about Orlando. Or excuse me, about LaMelo.
We'll learn about Orlando too.
Yeah, we're going to learn a lot about Orlando as well. there. I don't know how we got it. We were talking shoes and all this other stuff, but you know, it's always a good time.
July 10th, man. July 10th. This is like the first show. I was like, huh, we really don't have a lot.
Yeah, this week, this next week gonna be crazy. Cause, well, oh no, it's gonna be the second week of summer league. Oof, nobody's playing that week. That's gonna be nasty. We're gonna be getting ready for Olympics, and even though we don't speak a lot about it, shout out to the Giants with a big come from behind win last night on a wild pitch in the ninth inning. I was actually watching that game last night. I got an opportunity to sit down and watch the Giants live. Usually I'm like, got to watch them recorded or whatever, but great come from behind victory last night. But I say all that to say, baseball not even going on next week. Next week is the All-Star game, and they don't come back till like Friday. So,
all right, give us TV shows in the chat to review next week. Maybe movies too.
that's definitely on deck, man. We're gonna have a good time with it. But there was a couple of things with the more fallout from the DeMar DeRozan signing and the Kings and all this other stuff. And you brought up some good questions in the rundown. And I wanna talk about them a little bit more and just kind of breaking down the Western Conference and the off seasons that these teams had. And you had, for teams that had solid off seasons in that category, you had the Kings, OKC, the Mavs, and the Clippers with a question mark. I absolutely would knock the Clippers out of that.
I threw the question mark because like they lost Paul George, but they were active. I'm not a big fan of like winning the offseason, signing a bunch of players, but I guess this is all about perspective. So that's why I threw a question mark.
Refresh my memory. What did they do? They re-signed Harden.
You signed Harden.
Westbrook, they're trying to trade him.
I think they added someone else. I have to double check what they've done, but I feel like they've added a couple names.
They added, who went there? Derrick Jones Jr. went there.
Yeah, they had Derrick Jones. But, yeah, they added Kevin Porter. I think they added Batum, too.
Well, talk about Charlotte. They had a signing over the weekend.
Yeah.
Look, man, he's in the league, so I guess, all right.
Yeah, I threw the Clippers in there, like, more so like is it like just activity or are they actually doing something?
I don't know if they – so this goes into a question I wanted to ask you earlier when we started talking about Kawhi. Did they make a huge mistake just going after – they didn't even go after – they just – all respect. They just gave Kawhi the extension. They didn't – it felt like they didn't make – they gave it to him like in January, didn't they?
Yeah, it was around there. Well, I'll turn that around then. Would you have rather paid Paul George instead?
I think so. We just got done talking about how Kawhi, he's not gonna be there for you. Kawhi can't. There's no. And I like Kawhi a lot. This is not an enjoyable statement for me. There's no way he can lead your franchise, and you're almost foolish if you put your eggs in the basket of him being our franchise guy, which is how they paid him, which is how. They kind of set up this whole structure. That's crazy.
See, that's fair, but if it's that way, then like if I'm the Clippers, I'm just blowing it up and I'm rebuilding.
I'm not
paying Paul George either, because if Kawhi can get healthy, like maybe I can just rationalize in my brain, like if Kawhi gets healthy, he can lead us where he can still be that guy if he gets healthy. I can't do that with Paul George, even if he is healthy. Like if Paul George is healthy, he's not a number one. He can't be the guy on my team.
That's fair.
I'm not paying him because of that.
That's fair, but they. I hate to say it, and I hope I'm wrong. I'm just talking. I got a radio show. I'm not going to stand up. There's no chance Kawhi stays healthy.
I don't think so either. I mean, just look at it now. He was missed whatever the end of last season or whatever, and he's coming back to Team USA, and they're like, yeah, no, go home.
Yeah. I mean, he played all the games, I think, up until like March or something like that. He had played all the games. So, this is the unfortunate part of it. It's not like I don't think he's clearly, obviously, not trying to be hurt. He's trying this year. It seemed like he tried to push himself. Say, you know what? I've had load management. You know, I've sat games, stuff like that. Let me try another way. Let me, you know, play all the games and see if I can condition myself. And clearly his body can't hold up. So I say all that to say they gave him like $200-some million.
Yeah, but you're also business is business, and you're going into a new arena next year. You got to pay someone and fill out those seats, right? Maybe that's an aspect of it.
So here's the other question, and We haven't hard conversations. We haven't difficult conversations today. Okay, all right. I apologize to all my, you know, my Kawhi Leonard fans, to Kawhi Leonard himself. I apologize because we having difficult conversations today. But I got to ask the question, Jesse. Who is going to the Intuit Dome to see Kawhi Leonard?
Clippers fans. I don't know. Clippers fans. Everyone else in LA, it's going to be a new place. Like, you need a star. You need stars there. You can't just show up with Bones Highland and whoever else and Derrick Jones Jr.
But this is my question, though. You think people will show up to see Paul George or Kawhi Leonard?
Kawhi Leonard.
I disagree.
I think Kawhi Leonard.
I disagree. There are, and the reason why I say that is, there are numerous young, albeit young, NBA players or potential NBA players who say, Paul George is my GOAT. You've seen the clips. You've heard.
Yeah, I have. Shout out Brandon Miller.
Shout out Brandon Miller. Shout out Kyan Anthony. Numerous. There, people will go to see Paul George. I don't know if we're like, yo, we need a star, so we'll bring Kawhi Leonard in here at this point in his career. Maybe 2019, but at this point in his career, I still think people will go to see Paul George before Kawhi Leonard.
That's fine. Like I get that argument, but it's also like it's everything all together though. It's the whole selling tickets, and it's the fact, like I said, if I'm paying Paul George, like I know I'm not going to do anything. There's nothing that he can take us to. Like, he's not the number one. He's not going to be that guy. Like I said, I could rationalize if Kawhi's healthy, like, hey, maybe we can do something or whatever. He could take us a lot farther than Paul George could.
And that's when you lose me. There's no way he's healthy. There's no way he can hold up. I just seen, 6 years of it now. And the crazy thing about it was, in 2019, he gutted it out. Remember, if you remember back to that finals, he was like on one leg. Like, he had broken down at that point. So, yeah. Like, I think the Clippers made a mistake.
Maybe, but at that point, I'm rebuilding, and I'm not paying Paul George. I know that. If it's the
Why
Clippers.
Why aren't you paying Paul George?
If it's the Sixers, yeah, you pay him or whatever because you need a third guy, second guy or whatever, but not to be my number one.
Why aren't you paying Paul George?
This is a waste of time. We know how it's going to end up.
This is a waste of time.
Yeah, but like I said, there's like the whole, if he's healthy, hey, he's healthy.
I like both of the guys. I think, but to all the arguments, I think Paul George has a better track record of being able to stay healthy, and he's a bigger star than Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, and I think going back to it too, I think we can call this activity rather than success in the offseason by the Clippers.
Yeah, so the original question was a solid offseason. And Clippers, like I said, we'll put them in the disappointing offseason in the Western Conference. But you look at Kings, OKC, and the Mavs. Out of those three teams, who do you think improved the most?
I think this is all kind of relative. I think I'm going to go with OKC for the fact I think they're a finals team now. Like, they'd be my pick to get out the West.
That's fair.
Like, the Kings, I think they've gone from a play-in to top six team. The Mavs kind of solidified themselves. I said they, instead of making progress going forward, they kind of like solidified themselves to be a top five team, kind of be in the mix next year. But I'm going to go with OKC just for the fact I think they can go to the finals this year now. Like, they got the pieces that'll put them over the top.
That's fair. Getting Caruso, getting Hartenstein. They still got opportunities to make trades. I mean, they've got assets all over the place. So that's 100% fair. That's probably the right answer, right? I would say in that those three teams, I would say OKC, the Kings, and the Mavs, as far as who had the better offseasons.
You throw Cam Johnson or Dorian Finney-Smith, though, with the Kings. Oh, we're having another conversation, though.
You think they can get to the top of that list?
Yeah, they're close. They're close. DeMar, like I said, solidified them as top six. And all, like, now they're a playoff team to me. But you just, like I said, those right pieces. Because now you know exactly what you need. You get those right pieces or whatever that'll work. Like, they're right there, I think.
Mm. Yeah. They're not done cooking. I mean, so I'll go to that right now. I saw on Bleacher Report, and you know, it's a grain of salt, it's content time. We just talked about how we're going to talk about movies for movies, wrestling, and TV shows for the next week. So, like, you got to get content out there. That's the business that we're in. But Bleacher Report had one of those articles that was like, the best trade for every team, one trade for every team or whatever. And their trade for the Kings was to get Cam Johnson and to get Cam Johnson by trading Kevin Huerter, Kobe Jones, a 2025 second round pick, and a 2028 protected first round pick.
Send it in.
Come on now.
Send it in.
Come on now. That's
easy.
If that's what it would take, and I don't think that's far off. I don't think that's far off. We like Cam Johnson a lot, but we also realize he's a role player. You know, it's not like getting Mike Hale. It's not like getting even DeMar. You know what I mean? See, even though they didn't give up much for DeMar, but it's not like getting one of those players. He's a really good role player, with potential to do a little bit more. And if that's what it took, come on, man.
Yeah, you do that because, I mean, essentially, like, Kevin Huerter, he'll be in the league for however long or whatever. He's got a place in the league. He should. Whatever. It's just
Kevin Huerter, a good ball player.
Yeah, I just don't know if he's got a role on the Kings right now, given Keon stepping up last year. We got DeMar here and then Malik and all that. It's going to be a lot of minutes going everywhere or whatever. So, like, and he's expiring next year, so maybe Brooklyn likes that. Mm-hmm. And you get the picks there. I mean, yeah, on the Kings side, you easily do that, but it just depends on what Brooklyn wants back.
Yeah. And then they had another one. This was on the Brooklyn Nets side. It was Brooklyn Nets trading Dorian Finney-Smith to the Kings for a Huerter, a 2025 second rounder, and a 2026 second rounder.
I don't hate that one either.
Shout out
Bleach Report. Finally cooking. Finally.
No, the interesting thing is they had they had probably six or seven Dorian Finney-Smith trades. Like, every team was like, go get Dorian Finney-Smith.
I mean, because the Nets got to do something. They can't just stick around with those guys. You have to build up your assets now.
Yeah, you got to build up your assets. And then we talk about it. There's not much incentive or a reason for them to be trying to win games next year, especially with a guy like...
Did you guys not see the Cooper Flagg video?
Come on, man.
I'm going to send that to Brooklyn right now.
Tankathon 2024 is what should be going on, because if you're the Chicago Bulls, if you're the Brooklyn Nets.
Utah Jazz,
lose as many games as possible. It's humanly possible to try to get this young guy this year. And even if you don't get him, even, you know, if you reach for the, what they say, if you reach for the stars and fall in the clouds, like, that lottery's crazy next year. I think Boozer son is in the draft. He's either in the draft next year or the following year. But they got a couple different guys coming out next year where if you don't land Cooper Flagg, you'd be doing really good if you were in the top four or five next year. So you got no business trying to win games. And to a certain degree, on a smaller scale than like the Jazz with Lauri Markkanen, what are you holding on to Cam Johnson for?
Yeah, that's a good point right there.
Like, what are you doing? And even more so, what are you holding on to Finney-Smith for?
At that point, because you're not winning games with them.
Yeah,
might as well get something for him rather than just keep him around.
You're not winning games. No, like, it's not his fault. It's kind of your timeline, but he's not part of your future. You know what I'm saying? So go get some picks for him. That Cam Johnson, though, one, if you get in the 2028 first rounder, yeah, you hop on that if you're the Nets.
Yeah, you take that if you're the Nets. Cam Thomas is the guy that always erupts for 40 points every now and then on that team, right? That dude is going to eat this season. Let me tell you that. He's going
to
eat.
Let him shoot. Let give this season to Cam Thomas. Let him do his thing. Ben Simmons, reportedly, going to be 100%.
That's great. Awesome.
Ben Simmons is isn't he like 27?
He's got to be around there at this point, I think.
Man, that's crazy. He's another one. I don't think that he'll ever be healthy enough to contribute, but I'm interested to see what his next contract is, because I think he's expiring this year. And I'll say it right now, if Ben Simmons is I don't know if it's a mid-level, or I'm not going to disrespect him and say league minimum or nothing like that, but if he going to get more than the league minimum, don't make that look. Don't make
that
look, Jesse.
Are you sure?
League minimum is what, like $2.5 million?
Yeah, around there.
Somebody give him $5 million.
All right, check this out. Like, he's not an all-star. He's not going to get back to that caliber, everything,
no,
right?
No, hell no. He ain't getting one of those contracts.
All right.
But he,
so, like, he's basically, I don't want to be disrespectful, but it's like, he's a guy
well,
who
you already were with those looks. You already were
I don't think it's
those
disrespectful. I think it's the truth, but, like he can't shoot. He doesn't do any of that stuff. Now he's the guy who's going to get you 5 assists a game, some boards or whatever. Like, what do you really, like he's not what he used to be. So it's like, what are you going to give him the mid-level for? Like, he's closer. I think he's closer to the minimum than the mid-level.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. But I say, you know, 2 years, $10
million. That's fine. I would give him
$5 million a year.
I wouldn't go more than five, but yeah.
I'll say it for right here in Sacramento. I'd absolutely do that for Ben Simmons. Like, next year as a free agent, 2 years, $10 million. You know what I mean? To take a flyer on this guy. And he could possibly add something. He wouldn't start. I don't see him starting in any form.
No,
or
he's
fashion.
A backup point guard at this
yeah,
point.
Yeah, he's a backup type dude. Absolutely. Get him here and see what he can do for five. So I'm interested to see what he's going to be able to do next year. But I say this for Brooklyn. They signed Claxton to $25 million a year. That should really be about it. Everybody else, you should be getting off the books. And yeah, you should be getting Cam Johnson off the books. Send him to Sacramento. Let's get this one done. If that's too rich for your blood, go ahead and send Finney Smith here, too. That works, too.
Yeah, both of them. Yeah. Why not?
Let's cook. So I saw those two deals, man, and I was really interested in that. There's a couple other Kings situations. I want to talk a little bit more about the layout of the Western Conference. We talked about who had a good offseason in the Western Conference. Who had a bad offseason in the Western Conference? How does that affect? Does that catapult Sacramento? Does that make their path even easier? Are there teams in the Western Conference that we're sleeping on a little bit, man? So there's a lot more to talk about, and we're going to talk about that with one of the greats, one of the legends here in Sacramento, Sarah Hodges, CBS 13. She's in the building as we speak. She's going to join us for a little while, man. She's gonna champagne and campaign with us for a little bit, man, here on D'Lo and KC, ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Leader. D'Lo and KC here on ESPN 1320 on this hot. It was already hot. Yesterday, they said it was supposed to be like 10 something or whatever. And at this point in time, it felt like, I was like, this is cool. Like, it works. Today, I was outside. Nah, it's hot. It's hot already. It's hot already.
I thought it was supposed to be in the 90s today.
It's supposed to be in the 90s today? I thought it was 113 today.
Maybe it's tomorrow that it's supposed to be.
Before. I don't think it's hitting the 90s till
next week?
Maybe Sunday. Something like that.
I thought that
maybe
was like one week. Day of relief. I don't know.
90s is cool, but 100s is ridiculous.
Well, I mean, like I said, though, I mean, that's the summertime in Sacramento, man. That's what it's supposed to be out here.
Is it? Somebody was telling me, who was I talking to, where they were saying like they feel like it switched, like the valley in Southern California used to be super, super hot, and then Sac was like not as hot, and then now it's like switched.
I don't know. That might be before my time.
No, because he was younger than you.
Oh, yeah, no, he tripping.
Yeah.
It's always been hot. It's always been that time of the year in July, in June.
This many consecutive days of...
It's gotten a little excessive.
Plus.
Well, 105 is cool. Them 113s and 115s, now that's gotten a little excessive.
You see Vegas.
Vegas crazy. Vegas broke their hottest day ever. Like,
they were like 120, right?
Yeah. Like 124.
Yeah, yeah.
And like, I don't know if it was real or not, but they showed a picture of like the light post like melting. And I was like, is this fake or is this real? If it's real,
I grew up.
What do you even do?
Thinking like Death Valley. When they talk about Death Valley, they'd be like, yeah, it's 121 in Death Valley. Like,
that's facts. That, growing up in school, Death Valley was the scariest place out there.
And now we just 124 like it's nothing. Sacramento 115 like it's nothing. It's crazy, man. It's crazy. I didn't give the proper introduction for the radio audience. CBS 13, the GOAT. Sarah Hodges is in the building. Let me get some air horns for my girl Sarah Hodges.
What's up, everybody?
There you go. It's been too long, man. You ain't pulled up on us in a minute.
I know. It feels so good to be here. I miss you guys so much. Such a pleasure. I wish Damian was here.
I know.
But
I know.
Where is he at? Vacationing?
Yeah, he's probably like
on some islands or something.
Yeah, he's probably in Barbados or something like that. You know what I'm saying? He's got one of those drinks where you drink it out of the coconut. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's probably got one of those.
He's probably island hopping too. True. Like us regulars, we go bar hopping and all that. True. He's probably going out
hopping on the PJ. Yeah. kind of like Sarah Hodges.
Way
you never flight. you never know where Sarah Hodges might be. I saw her last night, VIP status. You know, you talk about courtside Kenny. It's courtside Sarah or pitch?
No, it's really
pitch side.
Pitch side.
Yes. Sarah at the Republic game last night. Oh, they took a loss last night.
I know. That was a tough one, but it was the energy there. It was a sold out crowd. It was so much fun. Like, if y'all haven't been to a Sac Republic game, you have to go show love. The energy is just different. Mm. It just really is. It's so much fun.
Yeah. I gotta get out there myself, man. I haven't been. I went when they were at Hughes Stadium. I went to that game, but I haven't been out to Hard Health.
I think I'm going to go Saturday.
Yeah, I saw they were at home on Saturday. They're not going to be at home for a little while after that either, I think.
You should go Saturday.
I've been doing a lot of moving. I need to be at
home.
You
need to chill.
Yeah, I just need to be at home for...
Well, yesterday was a big day because Argentina is going to the finals. So, you know, we were already lit. So soccer was already...
Going to what finals? The Copa America? Mm-hmm. Who are they playing against?
We'll see.
They'll play the winner of Uruguay or Colombia tonight.
Yeah.
You see, they took shots at your boy Drake.
Yeah, so that's really the segue that I wanted to talk about. They tweeted.
I did see that.
Yeah, because he bet like $300,000 on. I mean, obviously he's from Canada, so like, you can't like be that mad at him. But
right.
He bet $300,000 that Canada would beat Argentina, and they literally retweeted the Kendrick song and said, "Not like us, not with us."
Hey, look,
your boy's going through it, bro.
Well, look, hey Jesse. You guys, one day you're going to see things the correct way. This is Roman Reigns. All this happens because it's Drake, because he's the biggest star in hip-hop.
Do you think that his career is done?
Nah, not at all. I mean, as long as he keeps putting out hit music, it'll be fine.
It's not done, but I think it's on a break.
He probably got to...
I would agree.
It's I don't think he's going to. I think he's going to try and just, like, come out with some hits in the next couple months. But, you know, make the people miss you a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe chill out for a little bit. Come back, you know, in the fall or something like that. I don't think that's what he's going to do, but...
I think he's got to come back next year. Because Not Like Us is all... It's an all-year thing.
It is.
It's going to be on social media all year.
It's going crazy. And you know that they're going to be playing that at Kings games this season.
For sure.
The fact that Argentina is tweeting it out.
Yeah, that should tell you, like...
The Reds, they tweeted out... Or was on their post game or something like that, and like De La Cruz like stole third base or whatever, and they were like, hey, run for your life.
it's the whole world against Drake. Like, I feel like even like people I know, like Drake comes on, they're just like, turn him off now. I was like, dang, people are really. I don't do that. Like,
yeah,
it's
doing
not
too
that
much.
Serious. Like,
and that's the other aspect of it. I mean, there's people who, I'll just say, they ride the wave a little.
Well,
bit.
There's some serious accusations there, and people are taking that seriously. So.
It's a whole nother conversation.
I just say it.
There's a lot of people riding a wave. I'll say that. I don't like Not Like Us. I've said this before on the show. I don't like it the way other people do. Mm. But I do like the fact that it makes people happy. People get like really happy when that song comes on. And I think that's what music should
you know, just be feeling
should
it.
Do sometimes, man. So I like that aspect of it.
All right, let's all be honest here real quick though. Like, if it comes up on your Apple Music playlist or whatever, you guys still playing it or are you skipping over it at this point?
What, Not Like Us?
Yeah.
Depends.
Jesse's touching on... Everybody call me a hater when I say it, but just go ahead and say it, Jesse. Say it.
I'm starting to skip over it a little bit now.
The song's played out.
It is played out.
When Argentina...
It's fun. The social media I love, but yeah, in the car I'm starting to skip over it a bit. I still listen to Euphoria, but Not Like Us.
I still listen to Not Like Us. My son still loves it, so we still listen to it. Yeah, I listen to it.
Every once in a while, you know, you still got to just play. Especially the music video came out, so I feel like on the 4th, so I feel like it kind of like rejuvenated.
Kept it going a little bit.
Yeah, kind of, yeah, exactly.
Kept it going a little bit. It is, to me, kind of played out, but I thought it was played out when they had the kids bop version. I was like, all right, this is getting ridiculous.
You liked the pop-up though, right? Like, you were still vibing to it then on Juneteenth. That was
one of the great shows in hip-hop history, man. Kendrick did his thing. Like I said, that was like a championship parade is what the pop out was, man. So that was awesome. But yeah, it still plays in my
Drake's
car when
funeral.
It comes on. It ain't Drake's funeral. Drake. Well, once again, like I said, all of this is because of Drake. I used the analogy before. If Kendrick dissed Lil Durk like that, we wouldn't be hearing Not Like
but
Us.
But I mean,
like
it is a bigger deal because it is Drake.
It's Drake.
Like, of course.
That's it. Like, he's the headliner. He's the one.
Yeah.
He's Roman Reigns. That's what I'm saying, Jesse.
Yeah, but like, I feel like when
it wouldn't have lasted.
I think I'm arguing against my point. I was going to bring up Drake and Pusha T, but Drake was part of that too.
Kendrick is he's better than Cody Rhodes, right? So that's all the comparison I made. Cody Rhodes is not on the same level as a wrestler as Kendrick is as a rapper, right? Kendrick is a higher, but Roman is Drake. He ran things forever. His time, there are some people who are just ready for his time to end, and yeah.
I'm not going to give you that comparison, but I'm not sure.
True.
Nah, I'm not sure if it gets as big. It. Like you if he says his future or anyone else or whoever you want to throw in there.
It doesn't hit the same.
One thing I was surprised about was like, I didn't realize Kendrick was so rich. I don't know why I didn't realize. Like, he has money.
Absolutely.
Because I was kind of just going back and forth, like, how much Drake has. Like, I was just, you know, Googling because I just wanted to know.
Yeah.
And I was like, dang, Kendrick really is super rich.
Nah, he sold a lot of albums, very accomplished. Crazy. His tours sell out every single time. Yeah. So he done made a lot of money in his career. And he seems like the type of guy that doesn't spend his money frivolously.
Because my first thought is like money, right? I mean, I'm sure a little bit is to stay relevant and all that. Like, it doesn't hurt, right? But I was like, oh, like, you kind of think like culture vulture-ish, maybe a little bit. You're trying to figure it out, but he has money.
Nah.
I mean,
it's
never enough, right?
It's all authentic for Kendrick. For whatever reason, I don't know what the... I would love for him to do an interview and explain why he hates Drake so much. That's what I don't understand. Like,
he seems like
he really hates Drake. And I'm like, why do you hate him?
And for some of the reasons that they're saying seems just so petty. Like, oh, he is a fan of me. Like, just him complimenting Kendrick. Like,
don't they all hate Drake, though?
I don't know.
Was once it was Drake and Kendrick that everyone jumped in.
Well, everybody started riding the wave.
And it's everybody crazy, too, because, like, people who would be, like, on songs with Drake that you would just think, like, they're cool. You would just never expect it. We're then, like, dissing him.
Yeah, and like I said, that I think some of that was kind of money-related. Drake, from some of the stuff I've gathered or whatever, Drake was moving a little funny, too, as far as, like, not even, like, the accusation, but, like, the way he was behaving within the music industry. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of thinking he was... from some of the stories I heard, just thinking he was bigger than everybody and bigger than anything. And he was moving a little funny. So some of this is, you know, his humbling. Some of this is, you know, chickens coming home to roost. And I think that rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But I'd like to know why Kendrick, like, what is it that he really, really hates about Drake? Because he hates Drake more than... I feel like I could hate anybody.
This isn't like regular rap thing. He hates that man.
I can't. I don't feel like I can hate somebody.
Hate the way you talk. Like, chill.
So I don't know. I don't know what's going on with that. Some people, one person.
It is on another level.
One person that doesn't hate Drake or Kendrick Lamar is DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, that was cool. Sean Cunningham, getting Sean. That. So Sean, smart of it. Sean just, like, gets it.
Sean Button over there, he's all over the rap industry here after that question. That was really cool to see Sean get that question and get that type of response.
I feel like that's par for the course for Sean. Like, he's a huge, like, music guy. Like, he's into, you know, he's up with pop culture. He gets it. And to ask him that and kind of, you know, and just the way he did was just, it was, like, non-confrontational. It was just, like, such, like, an easy segue. And now he's blowing up via Sean Cunningham all over.
Absolutely. So. One of the reasons he was able to ask that question was because DeMar DeRozan is a Sacramento King now. I haven't talked to you about it. I got to know, like, how you, what was your initial thought?
Well,
and
like,
feeling when DeMar became a King?
So exciting. Like, A, he's from LA. I'm from Southern California. So there's that, you know, part of it. And I just feel like he brings not just, like, the player he is on the court, but he just brings, like, a different type of, like, riz to Sacramento, right? Like, I feel like Sac really isn't used to that, hasn't had much of that in the past. So it's pretty cool from, you know, just, like, a standpoint from people, maybe fans who do love the game, but, like, this is going to bring fans who are kind of, like, so-so to want to come to games and watch and be, like, more into, you know, Kings basketball. Because you have a big-time player like DeMar, but... There's just so many things. Like, I was just happy for the Kings because I wasn't sure that they were going to be able to pull off a big name in free agency like that. Mm-hmm. And it's cool for DeMar because he's close. Like, I'm from Southern California. I know how easy it is to get home. I'm sure that was like a huge selling point too. Like, you're pretty much right here.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy for the Kings. I was surprised, but then not surprised at the same time, because I feel like what Sacramento has done the last few years, like, I'm sure there's a lot of players who would want to be a part of that. Yeah. And they have other big time players. It's not like so-so players. Like, you know, De'Aaron Fox is the truth.
Absolutely.
Malik Monk is the truth.
Absolutely. Yeah, go ahead. Say. No. Say. Show some respect.
For once,
Sarah. Show some respect to the All-NBA player.
Sandy House was asking, too.
Is he a two-time All-NBA player?
I believe that's correct.
Show some respect.
Domantas Sabonis is the truth.
Thank you.
You know what's crazy is, like, do you guys not agree that he got better after that segment that I did?
He listened to D'Lo and KC. He was listening to D'Lo and KC. He hurt Sarah Hodges.
Not even better, just, like, more consistent, like, stronger.
Well, look,
more heart.
We just got to thank Sarah. That's what we got to do.
Shout out Sarah.
Thank
Sarah.
Thank my bank account, please.
Shout out to what's the Venmo? What's the cash?
Right.
So people,
let me get it. No, just kidding.
but man. So, like, the thing about it with the Kings getting DeMar DeRozan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges. And acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.